Sagas say, and legends tell, far to the north of the fixed pole star, westward beyond the sun and moon, each block of stone is gold and silver, hearthstones, anchor stones. The gold glitters, the silver shimmers, the sea mirrors, steep rock faces, suns, moons, stars sparkle and smile at their reflections. Anders Fjellner, 1849. From the Sami epic poem, Sons of the Sun. Prologue.
Hi, Lisbeth. It's me. It's been a while.
The voice is weak and croaky. His observation is correct, although they were in touch via digital platforms as recently as the autumn. It has been years since their last conversation. But she can hear instantly that it is Plague, her hacker friend, if there is any such thing as friendship. Maybe the only one she has ever had.
How are you? She asks, but misses the answer when she is overcome by a fit of coughing from deep in her tortured lungs,
coughing so violent that she has to put down the phone and rush to the sink to spit out gobs of viscous phlegm.
Sorry, she says, quite some time later. Are you still there?
You sound ill. Not like you.
As if he knows what's actually like Lisbeth and what's not. Armour-plated exterior, a face almost devoid of expression, a shell that keeps the outside world at a distance in a robotic, barely human way. The contents of that shell can be glimpsed only when a rare crack opens. Through years of occasionally crossing paths, they understand more about each other than most. Still, he knows very little about Lisbeth as a person, the one she has become or chooses to be. It's almost comforting to hear that she can catch a cold like any other human being.
That's what happens when you hang out with walking sources of viral infection.
I take it you're thinking of someone specific, he says,
hoping for a way in. Her inaudible grunt gives way to another coughing fit.
How about you? She asks, once she has recovered sufficiently. Phone calls aren't usually your thing. But then again, it is nearly Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you too. He can't help laughing. Typical Lisbeth, always on the attack, always one step ahead, a way of making sure she can keep the doors closed.
Do you mean Svala? He says. The walking source of infection?
Could be, but Blomqvist's down with it too. We must have picked up some foul thing on the train back from Gaskas.
So you two are still in touch, he says.
No. Yeah, right. Did you ring for a reason? She says, heading back to bed.
There's something in his voice, a tone trying to make its way through her snot-clogged, fever-hazed brain.
Just wanted to make sure you were alive.
Why shouldn't I be? He's emailed her several times, but got no reply. The break-in contact coincided with his own failed attempt to hack into the Branko Group's computer system. The silence made him anxious, but the momentary relief he felt when she answered his call is turning into something else. As she pointed out, he is not the type to ring his acquaintances for a chat. He is a creature of the darkness who stays in his cave, the kind who never pokes out his head to sample his surroundings. He can tell her suspicions have been aroused.
Anyway, I've been thinking about you, and I just wanted to check everything was all right, he says,
and immediately regrets it. His words ring as false as he feels, a traitor who has betrayed his best friend. She asked for help, but something, someone, got in the way. He could blame his own fear. Not particularly credible. His life has never been of much importance. Alive or dead, it's all pretty much the same to him. The passing years are nothing but a distance to be covered. She knows that. Maybe he should come clean.
Be in touch,
she breaks in, and ends the call. The audience is over. The short December day turns to evening. Between